Hey, this could be one of them life-changing days for you. You need a change in your life. Just look at that person next to you and say, I could use a change. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Acts chapter 3. Looking at my watch, timing me today. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready to God for the Lord to speak to your heart? You're saying, you just come here this morning and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I need something new. I can't just go back the way it was. The Lord will give you something new if you're looking. But if you come in here and you don't need anything, you're probably not going to get anything. What are you looking for from the Lord? Let's take a look. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. A man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. He was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Can I get a witness? That's a good day. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as that same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Lord, we long to see your mighty power released among us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I have seen that I have experienced that in my life, Lord, that we see your mighty hand revealed among us in this church, Lord. Over and over again, your healing touch, your miraculous provision, Lord, your transformation of darkness to light, Lord, that you call us, Lord, into something bigger than we can ever understand or comprehend, Lord. There's some folks that are dragging in here today. Challenges bigger than they can manage. Lord, I am looking in great expectation and anticipation, Lord, of a release of your Holy Spirit power in this place today, Lord. That you would overcome those challenges, that you would overcome those obstacles, Lord, that we would see you high and lifted up in this place, Lord, that we would feel your Holy Spirit moving among us, Lord, empowering us, Lord, that we might have a mighty message, Lord, that your arm has not grown short, that you are able to heal, that you are able to deliver, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you, that with you, Lord, we are more than conquerors. We will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I'm glad you're here today, folks.
I'm glad I'm here today. I'm expecting God to do some mighty things.
Sylvia. Jackie is here. Sylvia is at home. She was not home last Sunday. She was in the hospital. She was in CCU. And things were not going well. She had an infection in her kidneys. Kidneys were closed down. All kinds of stuff was going on. Drama was going on. I went and visited her on Monday, and she was doing okay. And I left, and Lisa came, and things started going downhill. And on Tuesday morning, she was non-responsive. Monday, she was kind of in and out of consciousness, and it was not a good day. And Lisa went in Tuesday morning. I met her there, Sylvia was not even coherent. And she had moved from the CCU to the ICU. It was critical. They had thought that she had had a heart attack. And they didn't know if it was a heart attack or a stroke, but things were not good. Lisa went into the ICU, and it's not private. It's less like kind of a group setting. And Lisa began to sing. What was the song she was singing? I asked her. I forgot it. It was Sylvia's favorite song. And Lisa, no guitar, no anything, just began to worship the Lord. I got a call Tuesday afternoon from Cynthia. And I didn't want to answer that phone. I had not had a good day. And I had some other bad news, and I didn't need some more bad news. But, I mean, I'll answer your calls, folks. I'm not going to dodge your calls. And I answered that call, and Cynthia said, been a dramatic turnaround for my mom. She is coherent. She is up. She is awake. They have identified that kidney infection. They are attacking it. She didn't have a stroke. She didn't have a heart attack. It was the oxygen levels that were going on. And she woke up and she says, I remember Lisa singing to me. And you know, I don't know what the singing was. We prayed like crazy. And you know what? There are challenges that we face. Those challenges were too much for Sylvia, too much for Jackie. And Jackie's got 15 kids running around her over there. But our challenges are as nothing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That he is able to overcome. And I'm telling you, it is good that we come into the presence of God and that we see him doing miraculous things. Everyone was giving glory to God when Sylvia came home. Hallelujah. We're in a series called The Next Step. Last week we talked about the day of Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday was May 23rd. It commemorates the day that the church was born, a Jewish festival that the Holy Spirit was poured out on believers. And for so many people, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the day of Pentecost. We talk about the outpouring of power in the lives of believers. And then we stop. We say, well, we want this power. We want this power. And then, like, well, what do you do with it? Like, I can have a vet sitting at home in my garage afraid to drive it. Too precious, can't take it out. Well, I'll tell you what, the apostles were test driving that power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are in a series, What Happens Next? We talked about experience the power of God, and the power of God came out on those disciples, and Peter preached a sermon, and 3,000 people got saved, and people's lives were transformed. They got new behaviors. It says those who accepted this message were baptized, about 3,000 of them. Talk about we're going to do water baptism on July 4th. Glory to God. If you have not been baptized in water, and I'm not talking about a little sprinkle on your forehead. I'm talking about all the way down. Ramiro's going to be doing a class in Spanish. I'll be doing a class in English. We'll baptize you. Baptize you in water. Why? Because we're supposed to. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day, and they did four things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We try to do that around here. Now, if you're a visitor here today, if you're not, you know that right after service, we got Aaron's Grill. And that's a focus on fellowship and the breaking of bread. So come and hang out with us. Why? That's what the early church did, and it served them pretty well. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's kind of the teaching of the apostles all baked down. Well, we have that in the New Testament on Wednesday night. Brand new series going through the book of Colossians. You can join us for that. Can I get a witness, please? Thank you very much. Whoops, excuse me. We also break bread on Wednesday and to prayer. Next Saturday, prayer, 5 o'clock. Come into the presence of God. See, we try to be like those apostles back then. And there was a transformation in the lives of these believers. There was stuff that happened after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today, we take a look at something else. It's not just, oh, we got the power. Look, we're going to do something with it. Everyone was just reading on, everybody was filled with awe at the many wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. We read about Peter and John walking along and seeing this guy crippled from birth and seeing a miraculous healing in his life. This was something offensive, and I say offensive as opposed to defensive, but they were stepping into the power of God, and they were seeing manifestation of the Holy Spirit transforming somebody's life situation. And I long to see that happen here. I long to see lives transformed, people grabbing on to the apostles' teaching, grabbing on to the fellowship, grabbing on to the breaking of bread, grabbing on to prayer. And because of that, lining up on God and seeing His power manifest just like we saw in Sylvia's life. Have boldness right in the midst of an ICU to begin to just sing and praises to God. I tell you, I went in there and lady, you know, being a pastor, I kind of get to go in there when they order everybody else out. And the nurse was saying, you know, we're going to do this procedure. And there was nobody in there. And I said, she says, well, and you got to go. And I just want to pray for her. So we're getting ready to do it. I said, there's nobody else in the room right now. She says, okay, you can pray, but if that lady comes in, I want to lose this procedure. And I said, well, okay, that's fine. We're going to do another procedure right now. And, you know, and I'm telling you, to put a focus on God, to put a priority on God, and to expect to see His power. Do you want that in your life? Power to overcome. Power to overcome the obstacles in your life, the challenges in your life, and to see God move in a mighty way. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a look at this. All right. Reading over these verses again. One day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m, and a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. He was put there every day to beg from those who are going into the temple courts. Surrounded by opportunity. Surrounded by opportunity. This man had been crippled from birth. Doesn't say he was a boy. Doesn't say he was a child. Says he was a man. Bible says that every day, I don't know if it meant every day of his whole life that he was there. If he had a cold one day and didn't show up. But regularly, very often. It's like, yeah, every day he's there begging. Everybody would have known this man. Everyone would have seen this man. Many people would have given money to this man. He was carried to the temple gate to beg. Not much of an existence. Can I get a witness? Not much of a life. But that was his job. It was at the time of prayer, 3 times a day. There people would be going by all day long, and that was this guy's entire life. Trying to get a couple of bucks, a couple of pennies, just trying to get by. Can you relate? Just trying to get by. Well, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is about a whole lot more than just getting by. Amen? That His baptism of the Holy Spirit is about a whole lot more than just getting by. He says, you will receive my power and you will be my witnesses. And there's a combo that goes on. It says, you put a focus on me in your life and there's no shortage of what you will receive from me. Am I talking to anybody here? I mean, anybody getting excited about this? I'll tell you what, you got unlimited resources coming your way. But he says, here's how you get it. I'm giving you the keys to unlimited power and unlimited resource today. I hope somebody's excited about that. Can I get a witness, please? Thank you very much. Yes. We have a need for focus. He says, if you would put your mind on me, put your attention on me, what happens? When Peter and John saw him about, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Joe and I would go to his baseball games over at Tecolote, something like that, over off of I-5, you know. And the guy had the best, panhandling sign I've ever seen. Big old sign says, bet you can't hit me. He asked them for money, and Peter looked straight at him, and also John. And Peter said, look at us. Notice us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And I am telling you, folks, we have got issues with focus in our lives, that we are distracted, that we are looking at the wrong things. He's asking Peter and John for money. He's asking anybody for money. I don't care who gives it. I just need a little bit of something. And Peter says, look at me. And I got to think in his mind, he goes, ka-ching, like that guy getting hit with quarters, you know, he's dodging them. I want to go take a picture of him, but we'll put him up there. I'm sure his eyes lit up. He's thinking, money, stay tonight. Things are going good. Now, we know that Peter and John weren't going to give him any money. They had something to give him. They had something better to give him. His life was about ready to be transformed. But for that to happen, they had to get his attention. God's not going to transform your life if he does not have your attention. Can I get a witness on that? And so often we get distracted. The Lord's going to change you. He wants your attention. And my question for you today is, where is your attention? Well, your attention's on me right now because I'm jumping up and down and yelling and spitting up here. And I hope he doesn't walk back this far. But where will it be this afternoon? Where was it yesterday afternoon? Where is your focus? What is most important to you? See, our attention is often scattered. And oftentimes we focus on the wrong things. It takes a little thing like a phone going off. I mean, my wife will just be totally focused. I'm trying to do this and do this and do this and do this. She's got 85 things lined up. Ring, ring. Oh, yes. I mean, we can lose our focus so much. Jesus talks about focus. He talked about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. You guys been to wedding banquets? They're pretty good usually, right? And we went to a wedding once. I know this is like no big deal now. This is 20 years ago. $30,000 20 years ago. And the food wasn't that great. It wasn't worth $30,000. Did you guys go to Elsie and Aaron's? Oh, man. Grubbing up. It was good. Two pigs. I remember Manny took the heads home to give them to his dog. Anyway, I digress. Forgive me for my time. Wedding banquet. Jesus said, kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet, and invitations went out, and everybody knew about it. And on the day of the banquet, people were too busy. Oh, I bought a field. I bought some oxen. I got stuff that's more important than the wedding banquet. I got stuff going on that's more important than the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, you got stuff that's going on in your life that's more important than the kingdom of God. There is no reason that you expect God to manifest his power in your life. You got other stuff going on? There you go. Good luck. So often we just want to add God in. For Peter and John, kingdom of God was number one. What's number one in your life? Number two. Number one, we start off with a challenge. The guy was handicapped. The guy was crippled from birth. Can I get a witness on that? Is that an opportunity for God to move? Yeah. Well, what's going on in your life? What is the opportunity for God to move in your opportunities. The challenge, the miracle. God will provide what you really need. So often, we're asking God for what we kind of would like. But he'll provide what you need. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, there's power in the name. Can I get a witness? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Silver and gold I don't have. And I'm sure the guy went, thanks a lot. Wasting my time. Get out of my way. Looks like a rich guy coming up behind you. Silver and gold I don't have. I'm sure the guy was a little disappointed. Interesting, what he wanted most, what his focus was on, what he was asking for, that he wasn't going to get. And what he wanted most is what not what he needed most. He spent all of his days pursuing the wrong thing. His focus is in the wrong direction. What'd you spend all last week focused on? I hope it was the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so easy, ring, ring, to get off track. I don't know what gets you off track. Could be money, could be work, could be kids. But I'll tell you what, you put your focus on the Lord. He's got all the money on the planet. Amen? He might choose to let you have some. He might not, because he's not about money. I'll tell you what, you put your focus on the Lord, you'll be a better parent. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. I'll tell you what, you put your focus on the Lord, you'll be doing better at your job. And you put your focus on the Lord, he might say, you know, there's no way that you can be godly and do this job. I got a better job for you. Time for you to move. Oh, but I can't. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. A life-changing moment. Guy had been sitting there his whole life. Peter and John probably seen him many times. Jesus had probably seen him. He'd been there every day. Jesus had only been raised for, I don't know when this happens, maybe 50, 80, 100 days in. Jesus probably saw him. You wonder, how come Jesus didn't heal him? You know, and realistically, there's probably a bunch of folks begging. It wasn't just like the only guy, you know, hey, I got my spot, get beautiful, get out of here. No, there's a row. There's a line of beggars. Why didn't Jesus just heal them all? You know, we can struggle with that because we really think that Jesus should heal everyone. Jesus should just do away with all pain and all suffering. But obviously, because Jesus didn't, he has a different view than we have. Say, so wait a minute. Oh, I was at a funeral yesterday. Lady came up to me and took care of, did in-home care. And she looked me straight in the eye and she said, you might not agree with me, but when I lose one of my patients, I tell the family that it's just good that they've left this place of suffering and they're in a better place now. I just kind of smiled at her. I'm telling you, there's only one way to get to a place where there is no suffering. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one focus that'll get you out. And it's nice. I'll tell you what, people lie to you all day long. Say, oh, everybody's getting there. Oh, there's many pathways to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. But we don't like that. We want everybody to get the bonus. We want everybody in the baseball league to get a trophy. Not just the first place team. That's so limiting. It could harm our psyche. Oh yes. Oh. So we wonder how come Jesus doesn't just heal everybody? How come he didn't take care of all the pain? You wonder that, Belteshazzar? I wonder that. Disciples wondered about it too. There was a blind man, and Jesus was walking up to him, past him, whatever, and the disciples said, "Who sinned?" Because somebody had to sin. That this guy was born blind. You know, what's going on here? There's a punishment going on here. And Jesus, let this rearrange your thinking. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, our Lord. These would be red letters in your Bible if you got one of those Bibles. But this happened. What? This man was born blind. Why? So that the work of God might be displayed in his life. See, God's not so much about just healing everybody, but about making a display of who he is. Amen. Your challenge, your obstacle in your life today, that wheelchair right there, Belteshazzar, is an opportunity for God to manifest himself in your life. What are you challenged by this last week? What is coming at you next week? Are you waiting in eager expectation for the Lord to be manifest in your situation? Well, if your focus is not on God, you're not waiting. You're just out there looking for money, looking for something. God will heal your life. Can I get a witness? God will heal your life. taken him by the right hand. He helped him up. Let's go back here. Silver and gold I do not have. What I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taken him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then he went up to them in the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. It feels good to have your right life restored by God. Amen? So often we are just looking for a temporary fix, folks. Just get me by. I need some rent money, Lord. I need a car, Lord. I need a job, Lord. The Lord is saying, well, man, your life is in the toilet. How about a whole new life? How about a transformed existence? Like, well, I can just get by with rent, Lord. Just give me something so I can get back to natural. And I got a question. How was God glorified in your natural? God is not glorified in your natural. God is not about the natural. God is about the supernatural. Supernatural transforming power. Lisa goes into Sylvia's room, starts singing. She comes out and says, man, who was singing? See God's healing touch. See God's provision. Is he going to, hey, this guy saw Jesus. Did Jesus heal him? No. Is there a healing down the road? Amen. God going to get glory out of your situation? I tell you what, line up. He'll heal your life. Peter took him by the right hand. Helped him up. First time. Guy had never stood in his life. Guy had never walked before. And as he was standing, he could have went, oh, no, 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 no. I can't stand. I've never stood before. And I am telling you, I have seen so many Christians, no, 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 no. We cop out. The power of God is ready to be manifest in our lives, and we chicken out and we turn the other way. We're afraid of the risk. God wants to transform your life. So often we're afraid of the transformation. Guy had never walked before. He's getting ready to stand, and he's getting ready to lose everything. He's getting ready to lose his support structure. The guy's carried him every day to the temple courts and from the temple courts. Probably cleaned him, probably fed him. All those guys will be gone. I'm going to lose my job. How am I going to be able to beg if I can walk? Oh, no, 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 no. I just stay here where I'm comfortable. See, the guy was getting ready to lose everything. And he was getting ready to gain everything. And so often we sit right on the edge and we don't know what we want. We don't trust God enough to go into the unknown and say, Lord, I'll put my hand in your hand and I'll trust you. Just cop out. Lord, my obstacles are too big for you. I got to get my SSI right. I got to get my Medicare right. I got to. God's going, SSI? Medicare? Don't make me laugh. I got more money than Obama. I got more doctors than Obama. I could heal you. It's not about the government. Amen. It's about power on high. Doesn't matter what Sacramento's doing. Doesn't matter what downtown San Diego's doing. They are not your source. I am your source. So he says, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And what happens? Nothing. Right there in the word. Nothing happens. Nothing happened to that guy's feet. Nothing happened to that guy's legs. Nothing. Until when? Until he started to get up. See, he's standing on crippled legs. He's starting to stand, and there's nothing different about his legs. And as he's standing, then they are made strong. not before. And so often we'll sit back and we're just asking God for band-aids. Oh, Lord, help me here, help me there, help me there. But we don't trust God enough to take the risk to trust Him. Well, and really what we're up there doing is we're saying, Lord, if you would heal my legs, I'll walk. Oh, Lord, let me win the lotto and I'll tithe on it. Well, folks, if you aren't tithing now without the lotto, you aren't going to be tithing with the lotto. We're so much like this man. We want God to make our legs strong so that we can stand. And God says, stand, I'll make your legs strong. Oh, Lord, take these challenges away from us, and we'll serve you. It's like, well, head on into that challenge. I got your back. Well, I don't know if you can handle it, Lord. See, you got this picture of God. He's such a puny God. He says, man, I got everything for you. I'll give you power. I'll give you victory. I'll transform you. But there's one thing you got to have. You got to have a desire. So many of us say, oh, give me a desire. No. Jesus says, you need to choose me. You choose me. We'll be walking through the rest of your life together. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church? Amen. All right, number three, the message. All right, so we got the challenge, we got the miracle, and now we got the message. We're trying to do this in 12 minutes, too. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. They were freaking out. They came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. That was inside the temple. When Peter saw that, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why aren't you used to this? It's a time of prayer, three times a day. You're coming here every day. You're offering your sacrifices, bringing your offering, coming to church. God's a whole lot about more than church. Can I get a witness on that? So we can come to church all the time and not see the power of God released in his life. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? And there are people that are surprised by the power of God. They were coming running. Why? This guy's jumping and praising God. They're saying, wait a minute, we've never seen this before. They were not accustomed to seeing the power of God. And I want you to notice something. Peter and John were not surprised. Peter and John, I got to think they were a little thrilled. Can I get a witness? It is good to see God just manifest himself and say, oh, you are so good, God. But you become used to it. You become accustomed to it. When God is your focus, you become accustomed to seeing his power. And I see lives around here. Folks that are willing to stand, folks that are willing to risk. And I see God manifesting himself in your lives, and it is encouraging. I also become accustomed to seeing people chicken out. And that is painful. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, there's some folks right here that are got some just massive stuff that's going on in their life, and they're chickening out, Lord. Lord, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit, you just touch that person's heart, touch their soul, just reaffirm to them, I am right here with you. You got supernatural power from on high. Trust me. Head into the challenge of your life. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Thank you for that, Lord. Well, somebody needed that today. See, you need to see your challenge as an opportunity for God to glorify himself in you. Oh, Lord, this is too big for me. Right. But it's not too big for me. I'll transform you. See, challenges coming your way and say, okay, Lord, how are you going to work this out today, man? I'm your servant. I'm giving you the glory, and I'm giving testifying for you. You're going to do something pretty fancy here. Is it bigger than I can handle? You know what I'm talking about? An anticipation and expectation for God to do something in you. Oh, Lord, this is a biggie. How are you going to work this one out? and you become accustomed to seeing God's power released in your life. All right, last thing. It's not too late for you. Are you happy about that? It's not too late for you. Peter preaching to all the people that came running up in the temple, coming for prayer, coming for church. You killed the author of life. Kind of a bummer way to start a sermon. You know, it's like, oh, bummer. I guess we should just leave now. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. How? By faith in the Lord Jesus. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. Anybody relate to that part? Amen. As did your leaders. Oh, none of us are free. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Period. So you repent. You do an about face. You get your life on track. You get a focus. Repent and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Sandra used a little refreshing, I bet, today, man. Sandra's going to have some surgery. Got some stuff coming up. And in the midst of the delay, there's a time for God to glorify himself in you. Amen? Glory to God. Peter brings a message of hope. He starts off, you killed the author of life. You are pretty messed up. It's like, well, that's so harsh, Pastor. I want to get anybody's face like that. Yeah, it's pretty harsh. I don't see how you can get much worse than killing the author of life. He's gone now, the author of life. You took care of him. You know, and I'm a bit encouraged by that, because if Peter is offering hope to those that killed the author of life, my stuff is downhill from that. Amen? It's like, hey, these guys killed Jesus, and they've got an opportunity to repent. What I have done is not so bad. And I have the opportunity to repent. I have the opportunity to turn my life around. I messed up, but I'm not as messed up as they were. Peter says, you want to get right? Little bit messed up, all the way messed up. You need to repent. You got to do an about face. You got to do an 180 in your life. You need to realize that you are not what you need to be. You need to realize that you need to get some help. One of the things that you got to do is you need to own your situation. I'm messed up. I have made messed up choices. And get away from the if only. If only is from the pit. Well, I'm messed up, but if only. But I could have. You know what? That's just getting in the way of the Lord helping you. We don't like that. We don't like to admit that we need help. We want to be able to do everything on our own, to shift the blame. Wasn't my fault. I told you last week about my garage door. It's still broken. But what I did on Thursday, because, you know, I could get the thing to work. But every time Lisa hits the garage door, it only closes to this far. It goes up and down and up and down. I'm like, come on, you got to have the anointing. You know, if you hit it 14 times, up, down, up, down, up, down, there, it'll work. She doesn't be able to get in. It doesn't work. So what did I do? I humbled myself. I called the guy I bought it from, who's a garage door installer. I said, Dwayne. He's a Christian guy. I said, Dwayne, man, I can't figure this out. I think I need a bigger motor. And he's going, no, man, that motor should just, there should be no problem. You sure it's not rubbing on something? I go, man, I've been spending some time on this. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, my wife's going out of town for like 30 days or something crazy, like 23 days. And I said, hey, after she's gone, if you're in San Diego, come on down and buy a carne asada burrito. Man, you can take a look at this thing. And he says, okay, I'd like to talk to you about your church too. I'm going, cool. I haven't heard back from him yet, but the car's not ready to go in there yet. We got to clean all the stuff that's in the garage out of the way. Challenges come in life. You got to own them. For you to get help, you got to be asking for it. Not just a Band-Aid, but just crashing into those challenges and saying, Lord, Lord, it's too big for me. I can't handle it on my own. Bible says that we are more than victorious in Christ Jesus. If you're going to be victorious, that means you got to win. If you're going to win, that means you got to fight. If you're going to fight, that means there's got to be obstacles. So don't be freaking out because you got obstacles and challenges in your life. Expect them. Embrace them. Don't get lost in them. Don't lose focus. Hit that challenge and say, Lord, I need some help. Lord, this is too big for me. Lord, I know you're with me. I know you're not going to leave me alone. Now, Thursday, I called Dwayne on the door. And I had the old garage door. And it was kind of leaning up against the fence right there next to the new garage door. And it was, I could tell, bothering my wife. I mean, it looks kind of weird having a whole garage door sitting leaning on the side of your house. Kind of noticeable, 16 feet by 18 feet. And I had all the old springs and I had all the old hardware. Why? Because if I couldn't get the new garage door to work, I wanted to be able to put the old garage door back in there. And so often, that's how we approach our lives. Right on the edge, getting ready to lose everything, getting ready to gain everything. I don't want to really give up what I know for what I don't know. And on Friday morning, I grabbed Mike's worm drive. It's a big old skill saw thing. Plugged in a big old fat electrical cable. And I started cutting up that old door. We're going to burn it at one of them Sunday night potlucks coming up. Why'd I cut it up? Because I ain't going back. And sometimes we just need to cut up some of the old stuff in our lives that we're just kind of holding as a kind of a fail-safe. If God doesn't come through for me, I can still go back to my old. And the Lord's saying, dude, you know how obvious that stinking door is outside your house? All your neighbors are going, when is the guy going to get rid of the door? You saw it, right, Barbara?
Oh, yeah, she was
yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, she was gone, and she brought her neighbors. Can you believe the neighbors? Oh, man, they're emailing her about the thing. You know what? It's all stacked up. It's ready to get burned up. And that's what we got to do sometimes with our lives. Cut out that old stuff and get ready to be burned. Where are you at today? What challenges do you have going on that you've been shying away from? See, God will help you through, but you got to perceive, you got to pursue it, you got to move into it, you got to find the victory. Jesus said, anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Too many people copping out. Don't do it. You'll just lose and lose and lose again. Jesus says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Don't run away from the challenge of your life. Run into them. I got diabetes, man. I can't control the stuff. I'm still serving God, folks. We all got challenges. God's bigger than everyone. Got up, tested my blood today. It's 133. Lowest it's been since I can remember. Feel good. Right now, the Lord is speaking to some of your hearts, saying you've been copping out too long. I have got supernatural power. I have transforming power. I have the ability to take you through your challenges. But will you trust me? And some of you right now are just ready to explode. That's me, Lord. I'm ready. He's ready too. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lisa's going to come up and sing. Right now, the Holy Spirit is moving on many of you in this room and saying, you know what? You have got the faith for victory in your life. You have got the faith to overcome the obstacles in your life. And I want to use you in a mighty way. You have got the ability to be a witness for me. You have got the desire to be a witness for me. And I want to transform your life. I want to take you to the next level and beyond and beyond and beyond. I want you to be a receptacle of my glory. I want to glorify myself in your life. And some of you right now are just tingling with the presence of God in your life. And you're going, oh, Lord, oh, I don't want to cop out. The Lord is saying, I'll glorify myself in you. Do you trust me? Will you trust